hello. You are listening to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs, innovators, authors, people that give value, also inspires us to give success. In this episode, we are interviewing Horma Miller from a interesting company that transcribes live captioning in events and also virtual events. She is the president of Hype Code Captioning, and we got Norma on the line. Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Pleasure. So Norma, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the owner of White Coat Captioning, a small specialist captioning company. And I live in Vermont. I've been doing, my company is about 6.5 years old, but I've been doing this sort of work in one iteration or another for, maybe the audience should sit down, but for 40 years, I've been doing this kind of work.
Yes, I first encountered you and your team at WordCamp Miami about 2 years ago. And when I first saw the whole white captioning and the live transcribing, it really like inspired me and motivated me, you know, as well, because there are times when you're in meetings or you're in conferences that you kind of miss what that person said. Either you were thinking about something else or you got distracted on your phone. But tell us, how did you, you know, get started with this company, and why did you do it?
So this sort of work comes sort of grows out of the field of court reporting. We have the same skill, the same basic technology that court reporters have, and that's how my original career. And in the mid 90s, I was recruited by BBC Television in London to become retrained as a television captioner. So that's how I got going in captioning, sort of broke off the field of court reporting, became a captioner. Then I came back to the United States, and the technology hadn't really caught up with us yet for me to be able to stay in Vermont. I could have moved to large metropolitan areas and become a television captioner in the U.S., but that wasn't really feasible for my family situation. So I sort of hung around and did some more freelance court reporting type stuff until the world caught up with me, I guess. The technology caught up with me. And then when the internet got more expanded and things became easier and faster and audio supplies became better and it was feasible then to do remote captioning from home. So I started this company in 2014 and started it specifically with the idea of specializing in very difficult jargon.
And of course, in recent current events, the major news when it came to private policy was in Europe with GDPR. And that's something that we'll get into later in the show. First, tell us about your company and the services that it provides.
Sure. So Termageddon is a generator of policies for websites and applications. So we create privacy policies, terms of service, disclaimers, and end user license agreements for our clients. And essentially the way that it works, it's a series of questions about your business and your privacy practices. So like, you know, where was your business formed? Or what personal information do you collect? What do you do with that information? Who do you share it with? So we figure out what privacy laws apply to you. And then based on that, we create the disclosures necessary for your privacy policy. And what's really cool with us is you don't just get a privacy policy, the text itself, you actually get an embed code, and the embed code is what goes onto your website's privacy policy page, and it's what allows us to update your policies when the laws change. So I keep track of privacy bills and privacy laws and rules and regulations and cases and all of that. And when something changes, you know, we can just update your privacy policy directly without, you know, you having to copy and paste templates or PDFs or whatever. It just makes it easier.
And this is very important. Like, you know, each company or a, you know, every industry needs a specific customized disclaimer text or any type of policy. Tell us the importance of how custom these policies should be.
Sure. So, you know, essentially when it comes to having a privacy policy, you want to make sure that it fits your business. And there's a couple of reasons as to why. So first, different privacy laws apply to different businesses. So there's some privacy laws that are already in place in the United States, in Europe, and in Canada, and the UK. So you want to make sure that your privacy policy has all of the necessary disclosures from the privacy laws that apply to you. And for US-based businesses, having an inaccurate privacy policy or, you know, copying and pasting from your competitor's policy where it's not accurate to your business can actually be seen as a deceptive act by the Federal Trade Commission, which can also get you into trouble. So if your privacy policy isn't accurate to your business because you're copying and pasting templates or, you know, you're using your competitor's privacy policy, so first, you can get fined for non-compliance by the laws that apply to you. So, you know, fines can range from $2,500 to $7,500 in the U.S. per violation. And in this case, per violation means per website visitor whose privacy rights you infringed upon. So, you know, let's say you have 100 website visitors from California this month. The fine would be calculated as 2,500 times 100. So those can really, really add up very quickly. You know, so you want to make sure that your privacy policy is accurate and compliant with the privacy laws that apply to you.
How did you pin this down? How did you pin this formula?
Through 15 years of being a serial entrepreneurial failure. I mean, I've tried so many businesses. My first business that I tried to run, I was 21 years old, a friend of mine and I, we purchased a Quiznos franchise, which ended up being a huge mistake. We were 21 year old, you know, owners of this Quiznos franchise, huge mistake. Like we didn't know what we were doing. We were in way in over our heads. And as you know, Quiznos is not even around anymore, really. It was a bad business model to begin with, which I would know now if I knew, if I knew now what I knew then, I would have seen everything Quiznos was putting forward. No offense to Quiznos, but, and I'd say, this is a bad deal. So anyway, from tons and tons of failures over the years, tons and tons of study, right? Conferences, courses, seminars, and then now doing my own client coaching and consulting for business owners and entrepreneurs, getting involved in their businesses, helping them grow, helping them scale. All of that over the last 15 years, I said, okay, if I were to take everything that I know and everything that I've learned and everything I've experienced, and I was going to start all over from scratch, and I had to make it as simple as possible, like that whole thing, like explain it to me like I'm five, right? And I had to go back in time to former Dr. J, you know, former Jason, and explain, hey, this is how you need to do it. Step one, step two, step three. Basically, that's what you have in the automatic sales formula is even if you've already started, it's step one, step two, step three, and it's logical. I mean, if you just follow the sequence, boom, 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 it is the way, the implemented formula for your business to create more consistent, predictable, and reliable sales, and ultimately sales that you can keep coming in automatically, that's the automatic part of it, without you needing to be a part of every single step of the process.
They say riches are in the niches. How does someone figure out their niche and who is their ideal customer?
Yeah. So this is probably one of the biggest questions that early stage entrepreneurs have. This is one that I had when I was trying to figure out like, okay, where do I fit in? Where do I start my business? Like, who would I even be serving or helping? Who would even want to pay me money for something that I do or know? And there are a ton of ways that you can approach this question. For me, the simplest way is to think of it like a triangle. Okay, so at the top of the triangle, remember, come back to human nature. What do people give you money for? They will give you money to solve a problem or satisfy a desire. So that's at the top of the triangle. So the question is, what problem can you solve or what desire do you satisfy?
Nowadays, Jeff, there's different forms of video. There's a live, there's the recorded video. Now there's a TikTok where you dance and sing or create some type of crazy short, also Instagram Reels. What have you been doing lately? Have you been doing more TikTok or you've been sticking with the traditional stuff like live?
Good question. And so first of all, let me correct you. TikTok started as a dancing and a goofy app, and it still is, by and large. It's an amazingly entertaining. I literally will make a guarantee. If you download TikTok just for the sake of entertainment, you will be entertained. It's freaking entertaining. Now, it has evolved, and there's a lot of businesses on TikTok now. And so to answer your question in a short way, I absolutely love TikTok, not for the social app. I love it for the content creation piece because it is the most powerful piece of technology I've ever seen. And by that, I mean, it's my camera. It's my video editor. I can add GIFs. I can add licensed music legally. I can add text. I can do all these various features that typically require advanced editing skills all within TikTok. That's number one. Number two, because of the way the app is designed, short form content, it really was designed for 15 seconds, but you can go to 60. In my opinion, this is the future of marketing. You have to figure out how to get your message in sub 60 seconds or you will be ignored. That's just the reality of it because our attention spans, you know, as they say, are shorter than a goldfish, right? So you got to figure out how to grab their attention in a very short amount of time. And when you go live, so you brought up live, I hardly ever go live anymore. I just don't think the algorithm favors it like it used to. I will every once in a while just to play the game, right? Here's the problem with live. Go search the last 10 lives you can find on social media, and I'll bet you this. Any of them that were talking head type live videos are 2 to 10 minutes, probably every single one of them. That's too long. And so you have to start to get good. So I'm still doing the exact same thing I was doing when I was going live, except now I'm pre-thinking out my message. I'm probably even scripting it into one-liners because jump cutting is becoming very popular as well. And then I'm putting that form, that same video I would have done live for, I'm doing it in TikTok, getting it out of my mouth in less than 60 seconds. And now I just created a more palatable version of the same video I would have because when they're scrolling social media, because by the way, I share my TikToks across all of those platforms. So it becomes my content creator. When they're scrolling and they see, okay, Jeff's got a video that's 45 seconds. I'll watch that. It's not going to eat up my life. But then when they scroll and say, Jeff's got a video that's 5, no way. I am not going to sit and watch him just ramble on for 5 minutes, right? It's a mental thing. And so again, you got to give the audience what they want. And we don't want to waste our lives unless we're going to YouTube. That's a whole different conversation. YouTube is long form content. That's what they're going there for. But on every other platform, they don't want YouTube. They're not on YouTube. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. They're on TikTok, right? Give them what they want.
So you are hosting monthly women empowerment meetings. Tell us a little bit about that. How'd you get into that? And yeah.
So after I overcame cancer, my clients were coming up to me and telling me how I changed their life. And I was like, I didn't know that. I just thought I was training you to compete or training you to lose weight or training you to whatever. And they're like, no. You were training me, but you were also coaching me. You were also changing my lives. You were also listening. So I started recording what I did in my life. I recorded while I was at home during chemo and after my surgery. I started recording my life story, which is going to be in my book and my documentary. And as I watched it, I started defining a lot about my life. You know, was I confident? Was I conceited? Was I this? Was I that? Was I, you know, I started going through all these things about my life and defining them. And then I started coaching women. I started doing the same thing. I record a session. They get to watch themselves. They get, it's almost like they're watching a mirror. They get to listen to their pain. They get to listen to what they've gone through. And what it does, something inside their brain starts clicking. I want to help this person. They don't see themselves anymore. Now they see someone they want to help, which is themselves. And the more you define yourself and the people around you, little by little, things start opening up. You start figuring out why you get upset, why you're triggered, why this, why that, all this stuff. Why you have these dreams? Why is something every day knocking on your door trying to get your attention? And you don't want to pay attention because you're so distracted with what? Society or the way people define you. So I did all these sessions. I got to the point where my hard drive was full. And I found that I had coached over 100 women one-on-one. So my mom's a psychologist. She's got a PhD doctor from Ohio State University. Go Buckeyes. And she ends up, I learned a lot. I always listen to my mom, even though she thinks I don't, I do. But I had a minor in psychology. But then what happened was I started literally taking all this information, and something tells me, listen to them all over again. So I spent 3 months listening to over 1,000 hours of testimonials, basically. And when I say this all the time, but I really mean it, I cried more in 3 months than I cried during 3 years of cancer. Between my two battles, I can tell you the times that I cried, but I cried more in 3 months because it was a daily pain that I was feeling. It's like, what a privilege I have to be trusted with someone's story that they never shared. So I started writing and writing and writing and writing. And then I wrote what's called Empowering Women in the Now series. And that series was defining you and those around you, training tools for fulfilling your life purpose, be excited through your challenges, and release the greatness inside of you.
Besides real estate, Victor has done coaching and specifically executive coaching. Tell us about that and how'd you get into it?
I got into it because by nature, I really care about people's vision. One of the greatest things in my life, Santiago, is as I said to you before, it's my core passion. I believe that we have so many people walking around that are not happy in what they're doing. They choose careers based on income. They choose careers based on how much money they can make from that. Well, I would say for the most part, I think we've got it all wrong. I think the most part, we're wired differently. And I think most people are not necessarily happy in their careers. Here's what I recommend. Find a need out there that you really, really, see out there, something that is constantly bothering you that you feel you need to solve, right? I say become passionate about it, right? And if your skill sets are aligned to it, you will make money. I guarantee that you will. One, because two things. Because, you know, there's a saying about quicksand. And if I can give an analogy between a quicksand and a wellspring. A wellspring is a place you get really, really energized, okay? And a quicksand, you step in your quicksand, you sink. A lot of people are working and they're feeling frustrated. They're in a quicksand. Why? They're making the money, but it's really not what they're wired to do. And so wellspring is really when you're wired to do it, you're solving something that you're passionate about. It's no longer work. And because you're good at it, you're wired for it, your demand is going to grow because your quality is going to exceed others. So coaching for me is a way to help individuals identify, one, their purpose, their big picture vision, right? I call that, it's like going out boating. If you ever gone out boating, it's really important that you know that if you're out there in the middle of the ocean or you want to go to a sand barge and you anchor and you leave your boat, if you don't put an anchor in, what happens to your boat?
It floats away.
It floats away. But if you put an anchor down, right, it doesn't matter if the boat drifts maybe 10 feet or not, it always comes back to where it's anchored. So coaching for me is to help individuals find out what is your anchor and then help to build a life around that anchor, a life based on purpose, a life based on a wellspring where they will not be just working, but they'll be doing something that they love. And it will show in their lives, their quality of life improves, the quality of relationship improves, their financial situation improves, and you can't beat that. You can't buy with money.
Incredible, incredible. And the part where, you know, where you can step out of that lack of mentality or that lack of circumstance and go into abundance, you know, anything's possible, you know, and just, you know, put an effort and perseverance, you know, to get over it. Michael, you provide some coaching services. Tell us about it. I know you mentioned about you are a coach for human potentiality. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Yeah. So the coaching service that I do provide is it's a program. So it's a 6-month program that, you know, anybody can take. It doesn't matter if you're at a good point in your life. It doesn't matter if you're already making $1 million a month and you want to get to $10 million a month. Or it doesn't matter if you have no money and you want to get to some money. Or if it doesn't have to be about money. It could be about, you know, finding that spouse that you want. You know, maybe you've been you've gone through a lot of trauma with just all your past relationships, and maybe every relationship you've been cheated on. And so it's to really help people understand that you become what you think about. You attract the things that are in your life, no matter if it's good or bad. It's only good or bad because of our perception. You know, the thinking of it is what makes it so. And so we really help people develop a mindset where they can go out and accomplish any goal that they have set for themselves. They can go out and do anything. If that's being in the penthouse, if that's owning the Rolls Royce, if that's, you know, living on an island, if that's finding a spouse, if that's $1 million a month, it doesn't matter what it is. If that's, I want to grow my business to this, and I'm here and I want to grow it to here. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, this information is worldwide. It's used with anything. So, you know, we do provide that coaching for people, where, you know, I will be the coach, and, you know, I'll help people on a one-on-one level go through their mental paradigms, go through these shifts that they have, so that they can get to that next level.
I've seen a lot in Clubhouse, a new social media platform that launched about a year ago, but it started getting hot in December and on. When did you start using Clubhouse, and tell me your experience so far?
Okay, Clubhouse, love Clubhouse. I started in Clubhouse, I think somebody invited me in December and I didn't pay it no attention. And then they sent me a link back again in January, and I finally downloaded the link in January. And then I kind of didn't pay any attention again. I think I jumped back on February. I think I jumped back on it. And then I gave it a little bit of time, and I did a really nice room. I was in a room with the billionaires. It was a billionaire room that I went in, and that really elevated me on the platform. I went into a room with billionaires. It was like, shoot your shot. You're going to pitch billionaires. And the CEO of T-Mobile was in the room. It was Grant Cardone, JT Fox, and a room was almost 5,000 people in the room.
How much was that room worth?
It was worth a lot. It was about, they were saying it was in the billions of dollars worth of network in that room. And they was like, can you pitch your business? And then we're going to bring three people up to pitch.
Like Shark Tank.
Yeah, they're going to bring three people up to pitch, and we want to do a deal tonight. We want to do a deal tonight. So they're going to bring three people up to pitch. So they brought me up to pitch. I didn't even know. It was like 1 o'clock at night, and my phone was there. And I see they bring me up as a speaker to speak. And they were like, okay, we're going to pick three people. They picked me, and I was like, what? My phone pinged. I was like going crazy.
Wake up.
I was like, okay. Then it was like, okay, we're going to pick three businesses. We're going to pick this business. So you guys got 2:30. I mean, they got 1 minute to pitch us. And I was up with another guy that did some credit card processing company and another guy. And they were like, after three, we're going to pick one business that we want to question. We're just going to pick one. So the guy pitched, the other person pitched, and I pitched. And and JT goes, which one of these guys you want to hear from? Which one of them you like? They're like, the auction guy, the car guy. And I was like, oh my gosh, they want to hear my business model. I wasn't surprised because I pitched in other places before, and they jumped up on, and they say, yo, Calvin, I want to hear your business pitch.
Having so, experience with that.
Yeah, I had experience with that. I had a little experience with it. So what happened was it kind of went crazy because when they got up in the room, I started pitching. They started asking me my numbers and started asking me all these questions, about my business and my numbers and how my revenue and all, asking me all these questions. And one guy that was in the automotive business was like, what he's doing is illegal. And then they were pulling back of doing a deal. They was pulling back. He can't sell cars online like that. And I was like, I jumped up on the guy and I was like, listen, I've been doing this for 7 years, man. I don't think you know what you're talking about. You better check yourself. I said, this is a real business. We have real sales. We've been helping thousands and thousands of customers. And he was going at me. And then Grant Cardone jumped in and said, yo, I know this guy. He's legit. He's got a real business. Give him a break. And then we were able to connect. But with that room, I was like, no. So I jumped up and I said, do you want to do a deal or not? Are you here to make a deal? And when I said that, the room set on fire. Everybody opened their mics and was like, oh, you got served. I was like, I'm pitching. You want to do a deal or not? You coming up here to knock me or you want to do a deal? My DMs were flooded. I went from 100 followers to 1,500, right around 1,000 followers with one conversation. And my DMs was flooded. They were like, it was madness. So from that experience, I love Clubhouse.
Clubhouse has been effective towards you.
Been able to make a lot of connections on there, a lot of deals.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, with podcasts or in life, you evolve to different new challenges, new things, and new formats. And that's what Colin's doing. Colin Kirk, he found me through a Facebook podcasting group. You've been networking with other podcasters. How has that experience been?
I think it's been pretty good, you know, but this is definitely the most professional, and I appreciate the production that I've definitely done so far. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on your platform. I know people are going to see this and be like, wow, okay, Colin Kirk ain't playing about podcasts. And they're also going to see Mr. Santiago Sleon. He's got high quality work. The man is has a tech solution company. I mean, you pretty much do everything, don't you? Web design.
Web development, app development, video and audio. I've become a one-man show. I don't know how I do it. People ask me. I could be Superman. I'm not 100% sure. But so, Colin, what advice would you tell a person that is thinking about starting a podcast?
I would tell them to explore several ideas, and that my personal one was I'm going to do 1,000 shows, and then I'll narrow it down to whatever my topic is. So the first 1,000, let it be whatever you want to talk about. I've kind of got it under 3, real estate, business, and Jesus Christ. But if they have that window of, okay, I can mess up 999 times or I can explore 900, they'll know after I've done 100 episodes, I find like, okay, motivation and business and real estate is really where it's my strong point because I believe you have to train your mind to think positive things. It's important to have positive quotes all around your house, right? So that it's constantly embedded in your mind. We live in such a negative world that if you don't do that, you'll get caught up in the negativity.
These stories I really enjoy a lot, you know, with Jeff and his life, he knows struggle. He knows he's seen it, but also going through success. I love that story when you go from zero to hero and, you know, you just know how it was. And now, you know, you're feeling the success, the bite. You're seeing like the fruits of your labor. Another thing you've been at it, which I'm way more amazed at this as well, is your real estate journey. I know that you are currently rehabbing a property, I think, in Baltimore. Tell us about your real estate journey. And I know that it's between you and your wife. So tell us about your journey.
Yeah. So Santiago, that's been an amazing experience. So something that happens when success comes, right? And we've been very fortunate to see our lifestyle and our financial health improve over the years. But one thing you never want to do is be complacent. and just kind of just stay in that position, right? You always want to look for opportunities to grow. And we have a mentality where you want to be, you want to have that hunger, right? To achieve more, to build something that's just not for us, but something that we could pass along to our kids, right? So my wife and I, we talk about building generational wealth, and that journey to build that generational wealth took us to real estate. So several years ago, our family, along with another family, the Clayton family, we got together to really start studying the real estate industry. Right. So we heard people about talking about real estate. Oh, you know, there's potential to build wealth and diversify your portfolio. So it was something that really was intriguing to us, but we wanted to study it first. So for two years, we just straight up every week we would meet in my house for an hour and have a study group on real estate. We would invite guest speakers. So I would use my network, right? That's something that I'm strong in. We would use my network. My wife is really strong with numbers, so she would build spreadsheets for us. She would walk us through like the tax implications of purchasing properties and how to properly finance them and whatnot. So everyone that was part of this, you know, this family council brought their talents, and we started really structuring a plan for how are we going to go about investing in real estate. So we've been hard at work on this project now for 3 years, but this year we finally purchased our first property, where we bought it at an auction. It's a property located in Fells Point, Baltimore, which is a really awesome, nice area. But the property wasn't very nice, as you could probably tell from the Instagram photos. We won that at auction, but it needed an entire rehab. So it was a lot for us to take on as a first project. But this is, again, learning opportunity. Don't be afraid. You know, there's a saying, if you bite off more than you could chew, just keep chewing. Just keep chewing, right? You got it. Like, we're gonna learn in this process. So there's been a lot of challenges. I mean, I'm not gonna lie and say, oh yeah, it's been easy. We're making tons of money. We're probably not gonna make a whole lot of money on this property. But remember earlier today, I told you how we get paid? We get paid three ways. We get paid in money, we get paid in experience, and we get paid in connections.
I definitely got inspired today. A couple of tidbits I learned: leap of faith. You know, you go for it. Pray first. You got to thank God. That's one easy prayer to do every day. And building generational wealth. You know, like, you think of the future. You know, yeah, you can give money, but that money could run out really quick. Real estate, land, anything else, not just real estate, some other stuff as well, but which could go on through generations. So that is something that, man, I don't think I've had this powerful podcast in a while. And good thing you're the 50th.
50th, dude. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Well, anyways, Jeff, I appreciate coming on to the Sleon Productions. Any closing words?
No, thank you. Thank you again, Santiago. God bless you, man. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Be blessed.